we've been doing a series on faith over the holidays, and I'll be talking about faith for the next generation. I think you can make the link. Right, so today I'd like to take a few moments to look at the promises we've just made as parents, family, friends, and a wider church family, and what they mean and why we've made them. I've titled my talk, Faith for the Next Generation. I'd just like to start off by reading Deuteronomy. In chapter 6 even, and verses 5 to 9. It says there, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That seems quite extreme. Let me give you a bit of background for that passage. You may remember that God miraculously delivered the Israelites from Egypt, a place of slavery. He took them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and destroyed a whole army of Egyptians behind them. So he delivered them from slavery. He then gives Moses the Ten Commandments, and the Israelites agree to abide by God's laws and follow him. God then promises to give the Israelites a land flowing with milk and honey, a very fruitful land, in other words. In this section of Scripture in Deuteronomy, God instructs us to pass our faith and love for God onto our children. This is what the dedication service is all about. So this morning I'd like to cover 3 points. Could I have the next slide? Okay. God has placed potential in each of us and encourages us to develop this potential. And one of the prayers touched on the potential that's placed within Oliver this morning. Secondly, God wants us all to be involved. I'm not just talking to certain parents here, but none of us are let off the hook. And thirdly, passing on your faith. Just to help us, I'm going to ask that we watch a little clip from Bug's Life. All right, thank you. Oh, sorry. I know you were enjoying that. Isn't it funny how kids always manage to bring a reality check? It's a rock. Anyway. I love the way Flick, I know it sounds like Fleck, but I don't have an American accent, so I'll call him Flick, uses a seat to explain to Dot that she has all the potential within her, and with time she will grow and develop and eventually be able to fly. And also, just as the seed will grow into a tree, she will then obviously develop and grow. There is a slightly greater truth in the analogy, and that is that God places potential within each of us in the form of a unique set of gifts and talents, all wrapped up in a unique personality. Just as that seed in the clip had within it potential to grow into a massive tree, we too have potential within us to grow and develop into something special. And Oliver has great potential too. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, we are encouraged to invest our talents or potential and put them to work and not bury them in the ground. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of visiting Canada with my parents. And on one occasion, we went up in a cable car in the Jasper National Park, up a mountain, and there were pine trees all around. And as we got higher and higher, the trees got smaller and smaller. And eventually, we got to a point above which there were no trees. Now, God explained to us that that's called the tree line. And at the tree line, the trees have only got a few weeks in which to grow every year. Above that, the conditions are too harsh for growth. The point I want to convey is that even though within each of us we have so much potential, like a seed, the conditions for developing that potential need to be right. With regard to children, this is the challenge parents face. The challenge to create the correct conditions to stimulate growth and development of our little ones. The challenge is finding the particular character, abilities, and talents that are within our children and helping them develop these. So what are some of the conditions that will help potential develop? Flick comes up with the following three conditions necessary for a seed to grow. He calls them sunshine, time, and rain. I'll just replace the rain with water. So with regard to sunshine, I see this as the loving environment we create in our family that helps children feel secure, an environment filled with acceptance, an environment in which children feel free to express themselves without negative criticism, teasing, or condemnation. I found a little poem that was given to us when Amy, our eldest daughter, was born. And it says, children learn what they live. If a child lives with criticism, they learn to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, they learn to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If a child lives with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, they learn confidence. If a child lives with praise, they learn to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, they learn justice. If a child lives with security, they learn to have faith. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, they learn to find love in the world. First was sunshine. Second, time. This represents our prayers for our little ones over the years, seeking God's ways and blessings for them. Prayers that ask God for wisdom, wisdom to nurture the particular character God has placed within them, prayers for protection, and for his hand of favor to be on them. Thirdly, water, or rain, as Flick calls it. I see this as anything that will feed their little souls, such as encouragement, quality time, connecting with them. I've heard it said that children spell love, T-I-M-E. T-I-M-E. Along with water, plants always need minerals as well. Just as gardeners give plants correct minerals in the correct amounts, so we as parents, family and friends need to give our young ones the correct nourishment so that they can grow up and realize their potential. Second point I want to make is that God wants us all to be involved. So this includes you and this includes I with regard to Oliver. 1 Corinthians draws an analogy of a body with many parts. Each part is necessary for the whole body to remain healthy and function properly. It states that each of us is a different part within the body or wider community, which is necessary for the whole body to benefit. For example, without the wrist, the hand would be disconnected and of little use. Now, with regard to this, as you saw, I asked Jenna for a number of photos and she sent them, and I asked for a photo of Sam as well. I'll leave that for you to work out which is which. No, she didn't. I'm telling stories. Okay, so talking about the body, it has many parts, and then the question then arises. Not what part are you, but what would happen if you didn't do your job? In a wider context, who has been placed in your path for you to help develop their potential? In this church, I've seen many people stepping up to the plate, usually with words of encouragement, sometimes with words of correction, but always to see another develop and grow. I've seen hands busily at work, physically, practically, helping others, cleaning houses, cooking meals for families who've just had a baby, or moving house, etc. We need to be available to all who step through those doors. Often it means being a father or mother to help develop potential in someone, encouraging them in their walk with the Lord, encouraging them to stay on the straight and narrow. Thirdly, passing on your faith. As a parent, I should aim to see my children go further than I ever will, see them attain greater achievements and fulfill their God-given potential. The first step in this process is to see my children experience true freedom, a freedom that is not free from any restraints and rules, but free to willingly make not the easiest, but the right decisions. Why? Well, free to pursue the hopes and dreams that have been placed within them. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, I'll do all that I can for them, that's my children, as a father, but I realize that my abilities and intellect, though vast, are limited. I'd just like to read Matthew 7 to you, verses 9 to 11, to put some context to this, what I want to say. "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" So I realize my children need a perfect father. They need to be introduced to God in the person of Jesus. I would want them to get to know God as their Savior and Lord and experience the true freedom we were created to enjoy, free to fulfill all that God has planned for us and for them in particular. It is vital as parents to pass on our faith. Now, it's how one lives one's daily life that speaks loudest. And St. Francis of Assisi is credited with saying, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." Children are quick to pick up on what we do and not necessarily what we say. So it's a good idea to, for instance, establish family traditions. For instance, the way you do Christmas. So Christmas is a time in which the greatest gift of all time was given. So we've started telling our children the Christmas story on Christmas Day, and in the days leading up to it, we read the Nativity to them at bedtime. At Easter, we read the crucifixion and tell Amy and Ben about Jesus dying in our place so that we may experience a relationship with God as a living Father. In all things, I would want them to learn his ways, which are not limited by earthly wisdom, which may be good, but not perfect. In conclusion, sometimes it feels that God's ways are difficult and out of touch, but we would be wise to teach and encourage our children that following God's ways will often save them a lot of heartache in the long run. Shall we end in a word of prayer? Father, we ask that you give us the wisdom we need as a congregation to support the little ones in this congregation, the little ones that we come into contact with, to help them develop to their full potential. We also pray that you would help us to pass on our faith, pass on the true faith to them, that they might know you and might enter into a relationship with you and know true freedom, that they can grow in a loving environment, that they may grow knowing that their Heavenly Father cares for them. And so, Father, at this time, we just want to pray for Oliver and his family and wider family and friends, and pray your blessing on them, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would create a safe place for Oliver to grow and to develop, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.